Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. I'm Donna Sebo, and we have got a fascinating interview that is coming up in just a few seconds. If you are one that is of the entrepreneurial mind, if you're someone that really wants to walk a path of uniqueness and individuality, well, my guest today, Joel A. Freeman, is a man you're going to want to listen to because he has, well, worked internationally helping people to achieve their dreams. If nobody loves you, create the demand. This is a book that he put together because he wants to, well, really support that entrepreneurial spirit that makes the free economy work so well. Joel, thank you for joining us today.
Don, it's my pleasure and my honor to be with you.
Thank you. Now, your material I found extremely interesting. You have been very much involved in the entrepreneurial level, working with people, doing it yourself. You have been all over the world as a corporate trainer. You have spoken at conferences. You do workshops. You like to help people go through whatever changes, adjustments they may need to make culturally. And there's just so many levels that you can address. You have also been involved in making films. So, I mean, you really have been someone that has been out in that entrepreneurial chariot and have driven it in a number of different directions. How do you think that you were able to achieve this? What was it inside of you? Did you just seem to come in with that, or was it something that you discovered later on? Lots of times people will say, gee, I wish I could do this, but they really don't have what you would say, what it takes to make it as an entrepreneur. Describe to us what you classify as an entrepreneur and what do you think it takes to make it work.
Well, Donna, what happened with me is I do a lot of reading, and I've done a fair amount of travel. I've traveled over 50 countries around the world, and some countries I've stayed extensive period of time. And one of the things that I've learned in all of that is to really follow after what you're passionate about. I've never really been pushed by the monetary side of things. I realize there's a practical side to life that you have to be able to bring in money to put meat, potatoes, vegetables, whatever it is you put on your table every day, and keep the wolves away, so to speak. And I'm thankful that I've been able to do that. But for instance, the whole idea of a film came to my mind after co-writing a book about ancient African history, and at every step of the way, it just seemed impossible to do, and on the budget that we had. And I just kept pursuing it. And I kind of call it a bulldog with a smile approach to life. The key, have that dogged determination, that perseverance. If someone says, gives me permission to call them back, then, I say, when is a good time? 3 months from now? 2 months? Oh, no, you can call back next week. And I just write it down. And, that morning I look ahead that I have to talk to someone at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, I set my alarm, my little clock on my desk, and at 4 o'clock it goes off, and I get to talk to that person. And that's just been incremental steps that I've taken that have just caused some of these things to come together. A lot of people quit just before things start to come together, and I've just determined, you know, that if it's legal, moral, ethical, if it's helping other people, that's my idea of life. And if I'm passionate about it, if I'm excited about it, you know, I wake up every morning, and I've got my down moments like anybody else, but it's just exciting to be alive and to be, and also the nonprofit side of things is a very important aspect to what I do, to reach out and help people.
Now, in your book, right at the beginning, in the purpose of the book, you say, this book is like condensed milk. It's a rich concentration of wisdom with a diversity of applications. And I really liked that combination of words because I think anyone who has ever reached what might be determined a level of success never tries to hoard it, but they try to compress it into chunks that maybe can be easily given to someone else because they know what they had to go through to get to where they have gotten. And I think your choice of words, the condensed milk, is very appropriate because I do think that that is very, very apropos. And
I can't claim authorship to that. As a friend of mine who read the original manuscript who wrote back to me via email with that comment, and I thought, wow, I like that. You're acknowledging it also.
You also make the statement in your book that if one implements just a few ideas from it, that one would be able to add at least $10,000 to a bank account within 6 months. Now, that's, in the minds of many people, that's a huge chunk of change, and that's quite a statement to make.
Well, I didn't want to have, say, $1 million, you know, or $5 million or anything like that. I really do think that if a person goes through the process of reading the chapters and then going through the questions at the end of every chapter, which are more for personal reflection, or they could be used for discussion for an entrepreneur club, let's say. Plus, at the very back of the book, the book is If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. In the back of the book, there's a section called Enhancing Your Personal Success in 30 Days. And the whole purpose behind that is to give an individual 60 self-coaching questions, two a day for 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, the clarity that emerges, it's not just what I'm going to do it, but it's why I'm going to do it. And I think that's a very important aspect because knowing why you're doing what you're doing is the engine that fuels the entire purpose behind it. And then the what and the how, that comes rather easily once we have clarity on the why.
Let me just give an example. On day one, the first question is what contributes most to your current life success? And you have some other questions. And then on day two, there's a very direct question, and these questions are direct for a good purpose. What are your weakest job skills? So that just gives you an idea, and then on day 31, what's the toughest question you have ever been asked? So you have such a range there in that 31-day plan. It is something that one could implement rather easily to make some of the changes. But let's go back a little bit to what you mentioned just a moment ago. Let's go back to the entrepreneur club option. Tell us about this, and how did you come up with this concept?
Well, the whole idea is I really love the whole idea of people developing clubs, coming together around this, because the entrepreneurial journey, that is the stuff of life. There are the ups and the downs of the entrepreneurial journey. People, you know, it just checks the very seams of your soul. It gets down and deep and into the internal motivation of a person. Some of the fears, you know, confronting stupid thinking, confronting rationalizations, personal laziness, all those things become part of the process. In fact, it's really not so much what how much money we're going to make or anything like that. It's who we become in the process. I think that it's really the energy behind all of this is that it's doing things for the right purposes and having purpose for why we're doing it. And so, you know, with the entrepreneurial clubs, to have people come together to have this common purpose of sharpening each other, encouraging each other, speaking the truth to each other, and then to develop a way that kind of like a mastermind group where they can really begin to communicate some deeper principles and understandings with each other. I think that is really a wonderful way to go. In fact, I'm working on some workbooks that connect the contents of the book to, for instance, next generation, 15-year-old to 25-year-old, so that next generation, so young adults, can begin to go through a certain process. In fact, in the entrepreneur clubs, the very first thing that I'm addressing in these entrepreneur clubs is how your personality impacts your potential entrepreneurial success, and how some people are, they kind of view life through a prism where they're kind of 10 miles wide and 3 inches deep. And that means that they go to networking events and luncheons, and they go to conferences, and they meet a lot of people, and they get, you know, maybe 35 business cards, and then do nothing about it. You know, it's following up, you know, learning how to follow up, learning how to do the details, learning how to make sure the legal aspects are taken care of, and those types of things, and to look at the negative side, the potholes up ahead, perhaps. That's the challenge for a 10-mile-wide, 3-inch-deep type person. And some are 10 miles deep and 3 inches wide, you know, where they will have the wonderful brand spanking new computer system and the filing system, and everything is wonderful, but they just don't have the chutzpah, whatever it is, to punch their way out of those four walls of their office.
Mm-hmm.
The phone feels like it's 500 pounds, and they're always just wondering, how do I do this? And I don't like the sales, the marketing part of this, you know. So it's looking how a person's personality can impact it from a negative and a positive standpoint, to celebrate the positives, the strengths, then to take a look at how any strength overused can become a vulnerability. So the Entrepreneur Club can help a group, an individual, to get do a full 360 around themselves. Because, Don, I believe... And you kind of look straight, if someone listening right now, and maybe you and I can do this together, is that if you look ahead, straight ahead, you can see about 80 degrees in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And add another 35 degrees to the right, another 35 degrees to the left for peripheral vision. It just begs the question. You add the 35, 35, and 80, and that's 150 degrees. It begs the question, who is covering our 210 degrees behind us, the blind spot? And I think that when we invite people, and I use that word invite very carefully, we invite the right person or individual into our lives, both personally and professionally, to help show up, reveal, expose, if you will, in a very positive way, that 210 degrees behind us. It's our blind spot. And that's what an entrepreneur club can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group of people committed for a common purpose to provide gentle accountability for each other, and to encourage, but also, like I said before, to speak the truth with each other. And that's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity if a person can find a group like that or start a group like that.
I agree. I think that's very good. Now, you talk about 5 stages of a business vision. And the 5 stages are dream, discover, develop, delegate, and then disappear. But there was a 6th item that I thought, this is important. It is the depth of a vision. Would you care to address that?
You know, one of the things, Donna, that I've found in, as I've interviewed other professionals and people who have quote-unquote become successful, is that it just seems like when a business dream comes, it is like skyrockets at night, you know, just exciting. And all the opportunities that it affords, and the ways that we can impact people, and the lifestyle that can be increased, and the influence that we can have on many more people. There's a lot of things that come with it. But then as we begin to implement that dream, and I don't care if it's writing a book, the dream of writing a book, or starting or developing a film, becoming part of a franchise, or some kind of a network marketing group, or if there, a person has an invention, I don't care what it is, there will come a point in that whole process where it seems like the whole vision has died. I don't know how it happens. It might be because of personal health reasons. It might be a business partner that's gotten selective amnesia. It might be that some family issues where 15-year-old son or daughter is experimenting with drugs, and we begin to really reevaluate our relationships. Might be a spouse talking divorce. I mean, all kinds of things that might happen that conspire against the fulfillment of that dream or that vision. And I think that's where the stuff of life happens, as I was talking about before. That's where it just really checks who we are and why are we really doing this. And it's how a person charts through that death of a vision, I think, that it is so important. Because sometimes, if there's a death of a vision, sometimes it's just revealing that the business, it's not a viable business vision. It's really a nightmare. And it's really something that maybe we've got to cut our losses and not continue. I mean, that might be the wisest, most courageous move on our part. But I think for the most part, it's just testing what's going on in our lives, and as we continue and continue to move forward in the right direction, I think that there's a story to be told some months or even years later, perhaps.
Joel, you founded the Freeman Institute. You have done quite a bit with this. When did you start this, and what made you decide that you wanted to really be involved in the teaching and education process for success?
I started this back in 1993, about 15 years ago now, I guess, approximately. And what happened is that I just was casting about. I was making a career change. I had been a mentor chaplain to an NBA team, the Washington Bullets, the Wizards, for 19 years. And I'd been involved in some nonprofit things. And I decided I was just going to take my love for people, my desire to teach and encourage and be taught with me into the business world. I just didn't know quite how I was going to formulate this. My PhD work is in psychology and counseling, and the thought of counseling people for, you know, a 50-minute hour, 7 times a day or 8 times a day, gave me the heebie-jeebies, and I didn't really want to do that. And so a friend of mine who runs a financial counseling organization, one of the larger ones on the Eastern Seaboard, he asked me to come and do a seminar for his group. And I did it, and had a wonderful time. I think he paid me $500, and I didn't know what to charge. And so about a month or two later, he called me, and he said, "Joel," he says, you and I have known each other quite a while." And he says, "I really think, I know you're casting about. I think this is what you ought to do." So he opened up his Rolodex, wrote me a letter, and gave me contacts of some other individuals and companies, and it just started from there. And little by little, I began to develop this whole thing of my brand for my company, the 7 words, dealing with people who drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that became the title of the most popular seminar. It became my five-second elevator speech. If someone asked me, "What do you do?" and I have 5 seconds to tell them, "I deal with people who drive you crazy," you know. And it became... And then just little by little, people would ask me, "Well, do you do stress management?" "Oh, sure," I would say. And then I would freak out and start learning about stress and somehow make my way through the first seminar, and little by little began to have that, include that as an arena of expertise. Then the travels began to come about, and of course with my wife and my children, 4 children, how do I travel and be a benefit to my family? And so I began to ask for extra ticket, and would front load or back load international trips so that a family member, my wife or one of my children, could come with me. And we would then hang out in that country, whether it's Switzerland or Israel or Russia or Thailand or wherever we were, Africa. We would just hang out in that particular part of the world. For instance, this past fall, I was in Africa for 17 days, and my daughter went with me, and we were in Ghana, Kenya, Addis Ababa, and just had a wonderful time. Went on a two-day safari in western Kenya. This is all before some of the recent turbulence broke out, about a month or two before that. But it just was a wonderful time just hanging out with her. And I was getting, I've been on a safari before, and it was just watching her, you know, getting a vicarious thrill out of the excitement dancing in her eyes and the bond that has emerged as a result. And what has come out of this is, I had a thing with my kids that they could go anywhere in the world with Dad. And so when they turned 15, we would travel to wherever they wanted to go for 20 days, just hang out. And, you know, those trips have included places like Israel and United Kingdom and Egypt and Italy and France and Monaco and the Vatican and Barbados and Australia and Hawaii and just hanging out with the kids. So it's just been a wonderful thing to be able to meld together my family so my family doesn't take as big a hit as many times families take and relationships take when a person is starting an entrepreneurial pursuit. Because sometimes those first 3 or 4 or 5 years are just murderous in terms of time, 60, 80-hour weeks. And guess what? The family takes the hit many times. So trying to do it in a way where it was family-friendly, if you will, in the process.
You make a point in your book that the biggest enemy typically we have is ourselves, our own stuff, our own baggage. And the things that are our own stuff, they're the ones that often hook us, as you say. And they're issues that we've brought with us from childhood, from various experiences. You say that we need to make a eulogy list of whatever we've done in the past that has been successful, also to note our failures, make a copy of it, and then symbolically bury the copy to ceremoniously give ourselves a fresh start, maybe even taking the list and burning it and sending the ashes into the wind so that we can move forward, because there is no one that goes through life without stepping into a few chuck holes. Sometimes they're caverns, maybe I should say, the deep pit. We get there. Then we have to climb out of those Hummers, and there isn't a special helicopter that says, okay, we'll lift you out, sweet and easy. It's, you know, it only costs you $5.5 million to do so. So when you give this, when someone's gone through discouragement, when they've had people say, look, it didn't work for you this time, what in the world makes it, why don't you go and work for the state, for God's sake? Don't do this. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. How can someone make a judgment if they have what it takes to be the entrepreneur? Because there are people that aren't going to make it as entrepreneurs.
That's right.
How can they determine whether or not they qualify?
Well, going back to what I said earlier, as long as it's legal, moral, and ethical, and I think that one of the things that's important is it's kind of like researching some kind of strategy for dealing with an incurable disease, just like AIDS or something like that, where you have scientists who are operating on certain principles and certain previously held theories and some facts, and they are attempting to use all the body of knowledge that's out there from a medical, scientific, biological, those different disciplines all emerging together, mathematical, and they then put all that together and embark upon research. And I think in a similar way as it is with researching the cure for some ravaging disease, that the business, you want to do as much as you can with the amount of information that's out there to develop some kind of an approach that will enhance the percentages in your favor, the odds of success. And by that I mean that you could call it an idea factory. You know, here's an idea. You might get it from watching television, surfing the internet, listening to someone grumble and complain about something, and a whole new service industry emerges because you heard someone complain about something. or an idea, an improvement idea, an invention, and how do I market, how do I go through the whole process of patenting it, and then developing it, manufacturing it, marketing it, selling it. How do I go about to that process? And I think that it's kind of like researching. You go down some blind alleys. You know, once you've done a SWOT analysis, the SWOT analysis is strengths. S stands for strengths. W stands for weaknesses. O stands for opportunities. And the T stands for threats. In fact, in the back of the book, If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand, there's a whole section there. There's approximately 10 to 13, 15 questions for each one of those categories so that a person can take their idea through that grid. And then there's the whole idea of developing a business plan, a financial plan, a marketing plan. And all the time, it's like a groundhog coming up out of the ground and checking things out above ground, that there's a reality check that's going on. And sometimes a person can reach out to a mentor, you know, someone who can provide that perspective on the 210 degrees behind them, the blind spot area. Sometimes if a person has a service industry and they're living in some part of the country, let's say, and they can call someone who's doing something similar in another part of the country where there's going to be no problems, no jealousy, no competition, no threat to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they can call that person up and say, hey, I'm out here in Podunk, USA, or Canada, or wherever I am at the moment living, and would you take some time to tell me what you've done? If you had to do it all over again, what would you have done differently? And I'll tell you, there are people who just love to share what they've been through and the pitfalls. And, in fact, my wife and two of her friends, they're just starting a whole personal chef business. And they're going through that process right now, and they're talking with personal chefs from around the country that aren't threatened at all because they don't live anywhere nearby. And they're getting all kinds of hints and tips and ideas and don't do this and don't go down that alley. And it's just thrilling to watch them gain a full 360-degree perspective on the business before they even start it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of that, as a person does as much as they can in those particular areas and reads incessantly on this topic as much as possible, whatever topic it might be, internet searches, discussions, whatever it might be, and then bounce the ideas off their spouse or someone who loves them madly, I think what happens is that the DNA of success or the odds for success are encoded, embedded in the process. And sometimes it's even before starting something, you want to spend a month or two or three or four, if you have that luxury, of just doing the research before you come up out of the ground with the implementation of the idea.
You can tell that Joel is very enthusiastic about entrepreneurship. And I can understand why, because it is just so important. We always need people out there that are going to step up to their own bar and jump over it and surpass what they even thought was possible. If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand is the name of Joel Freeman's book. This is really power-packed with a lot of information, tools for the business, branding, marketing, becoming a nonprofit, all kinds of various points of information that maybe you've wanted to find out about, but you didn't know where you could go. Get his book. If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. Joel, what is your website?
It's simply, it's four words in this fashion, workhardworksmart.com. That's workhardworksmart.com. And they can find out about that. And if anyone listening who owns a radio station or network, I also have 72 free 5-minute radio programs and MP3 ready and available to go, and developing workbooks and just all kinds of resources that are emerging around this particular topic. And I'd love, anyone listening, I'd love to do a regional event in your area around this topic, a seminar, and it'd be a lot of fun to do something together.
Wonderful. Joel, thank you for being my guest today. His website, workhardworksmart.com. If nobody loves you, create the demand. A good read. Joel, thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna.
This
my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome back. We're going to be opening up those phone lines. Here are the telephone numbers should you want to talk with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. I'm so glad you're able to join us. We have wonderful guests here on the Donna Sebo Show, and I'm delighted to bring all kinds of information to you. And by the way, if you want to chat with me, all I need when you call in is your first name or your initial. Let me use my intuitive skills to give you insight into where you are at the moment, and then after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. Again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Don't forget, those of you in Western Washington, I'm doing my class this Saturday, Mental Ecology. Yes, Mental Ecology, Beauty, Style, and Greatness from the Inside Out. It is a do-it-yourself job, isn't it? We're going to jumpstart your personal vision, intuitive skills, and problem-solving, and then we're going to help to clarify perspectives, objectives, and your purpose of life at this moment. Now, it's going to be held again this Saturday, April the 19th, from 10 until 2, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., at the Center for Spiritual Living, which is at 206 North J Street in Tacoma, Washington. Now, we are going to be serving lunch, and the cost for the event is $89, and that includes the lunch. And if you'd like to make reservations, then call this number, 253-383-3151. That's 253-383-3151. And part of the funds being collected for this are going to be going towards the restoration of the Center for Spiritual Living. It's 100 years old this year. So, like all of us, you know, the older we get, the more we're going to have to sort of bring things up to par, and that's what's happening with this beautiful building. So we want to be able to refurbish it, and again, part of the funds will be going to that. So if you want to come and you want to sign up the day of the class, you can do that too, but the reason we want people to call and give us reservations is so we'll know how much food to have available for everybody there, because lunch, again, is included. So call 253-383-3151. Tax day. Ah, yes. I've talked to more than one person today that said, oh, Donna, I'm doing my taxes. I've got to get it to the post office so that it's all in. And, of course, it's a big deal because this is big, big stuff for a lot of people. Well, I thought I'd share some information with you about taxes. And it's been said that the actual size and weight of the U.S. tax code is about the size and weight of a Budweiser Clydesdale. And one fellow included a number of Clydesdales in this evaluation. In fact, it was a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, Dave Barry, who made the statement. And I was fascinated that nobody seems to really know the amount of pages in the tax code, but there's been the statement it's anywhere from 2,500 pages to 60,000 pages. Now, how can anyone keep track of all that? I mean, that goes from about a million words up to 500 million. Here's a little bit of history. Between 2001 and 2005, Congress made nearly 2,000 changes to the tax code. Does that make your ears wiggle a little bit? An average of 3 changes every day that they were in session, and I don't think it works very much in our favor for most of them. Can you blame your CPA for being a little confused? No wonder they have to go to classes every year. Let's go to our first caller today. This is Donna. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Karen from Arizona.
Hi, Karen. Where in Arizona?
I'm in the White Mountains, eastern Arizona.
Oh, White Mountains.
It's beautiful.
That sounds just absolutely beautiful. Okay, Karen, the first thing that is coming into my mind, no nonsense, no wasting time. Your organization of plan is going to work well. Take the baby steps first to test the strength of the foundation that you have built with other people. Test the foundation gently and easily, and I give you a month, and you're really going to be able to stand alone, stand with good merit and good favor, being able to put things in the right perspective. There's a lot going on with you. I really think that you have been planning, organizing, putting particulars together for a good deal of time, and now you're saying, I just don't want to think any more about this. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. And I want to say congratulations. That's the right attitude. That really is the right way to do it. Because you are attentive enough that when you've got your basics well placed and together, you have what I call your mental super glue that you bring out every once in a while if something seems to be going by the wayside. So you've got a good attitude. You are going to pretty much be able to monitor things and motivate your action, not only with right purpose, but with a deliberateness so that the action is going to count. And things are just going to come together for you. It's absolutely amazing how they're going to come together. And I think you're right on track. What's on your mind?
Well, I have to tell you, you're just absolutely dead on correct. Wonderful information that totally pertains to where I am, and I thank you.
Well, now, what is it? I mean,
my question was, you basically already answered it. It is, I've been working very hard, as you said, planning and organizing in my work, and I've got several irons in the fire. One is a book that I've been working on for quite a while, and the other one is a practice that I have, and classes that I teach. So, you know, things are moving along, but it has hit sort of a, not exactly a slump, but a temporary slowdown, and I was concerned.
All right, but if you stay on track, the only suggestion I would have for you at this time is you need to ask yourself a couple of pertinent questions.
Okay.
Who is it that would value what you have to offer? and where can you place yourself that is going to be economically comfortable for you and give you a visibility to those women who are going to feel that what you're offering can be brought into their environment, whether it's business, whether it is their organization, or maybe something that's very personal to them. So it's your becoming more visible to them.
Yes, I've been working on that.
And that's where I think the baby steps are.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part.
I said that's where I think your baby steps are.
Yes, yes, I understand that.
If that makes sense to you, just the baby steps.
Okay.
So if you know, let's say, if your local chamber of commerce or you know of some other groups and you say, okay, I'll go and I'll check out these different women's organizations. And I'm sure you've got an abundance of them in Arizona. But if you could just introduce yourself, find out if it's what's going to work for you, because sometimes there are those groups that they get together for lunch and they kibitz. And everybody wants to pass out business cards, but there's not really what you feel is the feel for you. You know,
no.
It's like there's not an exchange. And even if you did want to do some kind of an exchange with someone, it's as if the feel, it doesn't fit you. It's not where you want to put your time. You're not there just to have lunch.
Yes.
So it is the discriminating factor of who you're interacting with.
So important.
Yeah. So you're just going to need to try it. There are going to be some men's groups that I think are going to be interested, but for some reason I'm getting more of a pull towards more of a women's orientation.
I feel that way too.
And don't close the door on the men. I believe it'll be because of what you find you can adapt to different arenas. So you're just here in this what I call the sculpting phase. And it's an ongoing job. It never stops.
I understand exactly what you're describing.
Wonderful.
That was so helpful, and I appreciate it very
much. Oh, you're more than welcome. Be sure and tell your friends about the show, too.
I'm sorry?
Be sure and tell your friends about the radio show, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will.
All right, there.
Take
care. I
absolutely will. Thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome,
Karen. You do a great
job. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Donna Sebo here, and I know we're going to be going to break in a little bit. I just wanted to give you a little bit more trivia. By the way, give me a call if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Don't forget, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And I'll take it from there. That's all I need. You know, I was telling you about how many changes were made by Congress between 2001 and 2005. Well, do you know that in 2006, there was a congressman who thought the tax code had 1.3 million pages? That's scary. That's really scary. You definitely know nobody knows what's going on with that many pages. However, that's not the case. There is a Cato Institute that said the actual number of pages as of 2006 in our tax code is 66,498 pages. Okay, yes, you heard it correctly. 66,498 pages. That's 40,500 pages more than 10 years ago. Whew, that makes me worry. I mean, I read a lot. I read 400 to 600 books a year. I know I'd never be able to get through that tax code, and can you imagine how many contradictions there would be in it? Now, something that a lot of people don't remember, they're not really aware of it that much consciously, but the rules and regulations for taxes change and increase on a regular basis, and the percentage of income taken from the average American by federal, state, and local governments each year grows. It's not going away. It grows. And from 1990 to the year 2000, it went from 30.5% to 33.6%. Amazing stuff, isn't it? We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're coming right back after this.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny before we go to our next caller, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking about Transformers. That's right, T-R-A-N-C-E-F-O-R-M-E-R-S, Shamans of the 21st Century. And it's going to be quite an interesting conversation. This gentleman has done, John J. Harper, quite a bit of research. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about A Woman's Book of Spirit with Sue Catron Thiel. And then Dr. Petty, one of my favorite people. We're talking about healing, meaning, and purpose. He has some wonderful, wonderful insights and exercises that we can do as individuals to empower ourselves in wellness and in an understanding of how we can use our mind towards that means. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Patty, and I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, we've got two people from Arizona today.
Arizonans love you.
Oh, well, I love Arizona, except when it gets to 120 degrees. Then I'll stay in Washington, thank you very much. I've been there in Arizona during the heights of the summer. Woo, hot, just like Vegas. It's amazingly hot. Okay.
That's why the shopping malls are so booming and successful, because of that air conditioning in there.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely. Boy, I don't know how the pioneers did it, but they did. Without air conditioning. They just didn't have the opportunity to have it otherwise. Okay, Patty, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is your shopping. I'm seeing you going out and you're looking for some new things for your wardrobe. It appears to me that you have been taking a better interest in yourself as far as how you look, how you feel, and you have been seeing some nice results, which you're very, very pleased with. So I think that's great. You're also giving yourself a break from a very intense cycle of activity, and it's like mentally you need the break so that you can refresh your mind. And I would say that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. You are going to discover, however, that for you to really do everything that you need to do for yourself mentally, you're going to also need to keep a pad of paper and a pen handy. because you're going to get your ideas in some very interesting ways, ways that you would not have anticipated. So I would like for you to be aware of the fact that there is a lot going on in your space that's enabling you to move rapidly and quickly through a lot of what otherwise would be very time-consuming activities. It's as if you have reached a point where you're assessing, evaluating, and becoming extremely decisive about where you're going to put your energy. No nonsense, really clear. The clarity is fabulous. And I think it's going to get even better if it possibly can. And I think that that is going to give you that boost to self-confidence that you are wanting. And it's going to prove to be a wonderful, wonderful asset. You're doing well. You're doing well. Keep up the good work. What would you like to ask me?
Well, thank you. I'm looking at being very positive about my incoming money. Do you see that being able to make deadlines, financial deadlines, this month and next?
Well, one of the things I'm seeing you do, Patty, is that you are not trying to categorize opportunity. What I'm seeing you doing is saying, I'm going to trust, I'm going to release, but I'm also going to be out there interacting with people, letting them know that I'm interested in doing X, Y, Z. And I'm seeing work evolving towards you. So your financial responsibilities you are going to be able to take care of, and I'm seeing you getting what I would call a regular job that is going to give you what you need in what I, again, will call a bread and butter category that will allow you to work your creative side and to do some other areas of interest that you want to have grow and develop. But the money is there for you. I am not saying that you have to go through privation. That is not a requirement. But you are gaining clarity. You're seeing things with a different view, a different perspective. And that comes from experience. That comes from being open and receptive and saying, all right, this is what I'm looking at, and you're letting people know, and they're saying, okay, I'll keep my eyes open for you. But you're not depending on them to do it for you. So there's a big difference. There's been a big shift, I think, in your thinking and, again, your perception. And that's, to me, that's very good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome, and you have a wonderful day.
And you too. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Patty. This is Donna Sebo, and I had a story that I wanted to share with you about a woman who has responded to terrorism in a phenomenal way, but we don't have enough time because we've just got a little bit over a minute before we're going to close today. So I'm going to be saving it for another time, but you'll hear me say on this program over and over again, one individual makes a significant difference. It is amazing how one person's actions will just inspire so many. And that's often what it takes, is one person that has the willingness to say, I can do this, whatever this might be, and I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to do it. And it happens. And then there's the people, there are the people that come in and support. Never doubt that if you have an idea of value, if you have something that really is close to your heart, never doubt that that is going to be fulfilled for you on some level or another, because it will. The universe is giving you that for the purpose of having it fulfilled. You may have to go out, however, and let people know about it so it can happen. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be talking about the shamans of the 21st century tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Enjoy where you are. This is your moment. The now is what makes your future. Make it a good one. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.